Well, on Friday afternoon, at about 3 o'clock, I got a phone call. A Methodist pastor in Longmont called me to ask me to call a Methodist pastor in Estes Park. Now, I mentioned the different places and the different pastors to point out that there is something amazing about being connected as Methodists. Estes Park needed flood relief supplies. The Red Cross emergency shelter was empty. And they wondered if Longmont had extras. Well, they didn't. But Longmont knew we were working on them. So Longmont calls me and asks me to call Estes Park. And Estes Park asks me if we can get them supplies. I proudly told her that we would have a bunch of those flood buckets ready for them right after church on Sunday. And she simply said on the other end of the phone, "We can't wait that long." Today we ask the question, what's up with church? Now this is a very important question. Because even if the words are different, even if you might not ask what's up with church, you all asked yourself this question when you decided to show up this morning. In fact, every person that's not here also asked themselves the same question. Our answers, whatever they may be, whatever they may have been, they brought us here. Maybe we came out of a need. Maybe we came out of a longing. Maybe we came out of habit. Maybe we feel we have something to offer. Maybe we feel we have something to fear. Maybe we feel nothing at all. But we are here. And here we are, the church. Notice I don't say here we are at church. Not here we are in church. Here we are, the church. I usually let Brandon do whatever he likes with children's time, but this week I was like, "Hey, I need a favor. We need to sing a song." And he's like, "What song?" I'm like, "I am the church, you are the church." And he's like, "I don't know that one. You're going to have to sing it." I said, "Okay." I'm grateful that he allowed us to work that song into children's time this week because I didn't know where else to put it in the service. I mean, it's kind of a goofy little song that I very much associate with Sunday school from my childhood. I couldn't wrap my mind around using it as one of our official hymns, not when we've got, you know, the organ playing "The Church is One Foundation," and then we follow it with "I am the church, you are the church." But I thought it needs to be there because over and over this week, my mind kept coming back to its words. What's up with church? The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. Okay, what's up with church? We're many different people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. What's up with church? Yes, we're the church together. My mind kept coming back to it. There's reason for that, and I thank the many music and Sunday school teachers that helped me learn that song as a child. Because asking the question, what's up with church, can only lead to a productive conversation if we have a clear understanding of what church is. In answering what's up with church this morning, I will not be giving you a discussion about our building. I will not be discussing our upcoming calendar, nor am I going to discuss the attendance that we see. Because those things aren't the church. They're a part of our life together, sure, but they are not the church. Because the church is a people. Now, the pastor from Estes Park's words rang in my ear. We can't wait that long. And so all the well-laid plans to make flood buckets on Sunday after church, you know, those well-laid plans that had already been announced, the well-laid plans that didn't interfere with an already busy Saturday, all those well-laid plans went out the window. And with an email and a Facebook post, new plans were made. People made themselves available. Donations were rushed. Schedules were cleared. We had the materials. We had the able and willing servants. But how can we get them to Estes Park? We can't wait that long. Now, people have been asking the question, what's up with church, since the beginning? It's something people asked very early on when those first disciples and apostles went out and said, let's be the church. And they went, be the what? Church, let's talk. All those who followed Jesus were traveling, and as they followed, as they went throughout the Mediterranean and the world beyond, they were starting these little small congregations and watching them grow. And those small congregations regularly had questions. Questions like, what's up with church? And you see, this wasn't just a question of curiosity, but also a question of timing. You see, in some ways, the early church, the earliest church, was really just killing time until Jesus came back. I mean, they expected Jesus to come back in their lifetime, so really, they were just waiting. But you might as well wait with good company. And as they waited, they started to wonder if there shouldn't be more to church than just waiting. The idea of waiting is addressed in a letter to the community of Christians we know as the book of Hebrews. Interestingly enough, Hebrews is in the New Testament. Usually when I think of Hebrew people, I think Old Testament. But no, this one, it ends up towards the back of the Bible there. Hear these words from the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. For the record, that's actual in the Bible. Sparking love and good deeds. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. So what do we do while we wait for Jesus? That was the question. And the answer came, how about sparking love and good deeds? Let's do that. You see, some of the early believers were just getting together as if they were at a surprise party, and at any time Jesus was going to walk through the door. I don't know if you've ever spent much time at a surprise party waiting for someone to walk through the door, but everyone's always like, shh, shh, they could be here any time. And then the door starts opening, and they're like, sir, oh, it's not him yet. Okay, hang on, everybody back here. It's a long, arduous process at times, and it never works out the way it's planned because, you know, you got to have the ruse to keep them away, and then they eventually get there. And the waiting part, that's not the exciting part. What you really are there for is that moment you yell surprise, and then the party after. You see, the church, when it's not careful, can be like that. A bunch of people waiting around, shushing each other, waiting for something to happen that'll be exciting afterwards. That's not church. You see, our scripture today tries to redirect the attention, inviting the church to encourage each other, to be together, and while we're together, to spark some love in the world and do some good deeds. The church then and the church now being asked to do more than wait for Jesus. We're being asked to live like Jesus. Less waiting, more doing. That's what's up with the church. Because we can't wait that long. I don't know if you've ever considered it, but 55-gallon buckets are not a small delivery. Let alone the additional 10-some boxes and bins of overflow supplies that we had. And with less than 24-hour notice, U-Haul trucks were very few and far between in Denver. And they were very, very expensive. So a few phone calls later, I found myself talking to an old friend. Judy Orecchio is on staff at Park Hill United Methodist Church. And I've known her since I was a youth. And when I asked her about borrowing their church van, not only did she say she would make it happen, not only did she say they had a van that only had two seats in front and was completely empty for carrying cargo, not only did she say she would drive it herself with me riding shotgun, she said she would be here as early as possible so that no one had to wait. So now we had the supplies. Thousands of dollars worth of generosity gathered from throughout the neighborhood. We had the supplies and we had a team of people coming in to assemble a room full of donations into these 50 different buckets. We had a van. We had a driver. We had everything together. And we had a mission. Now, the United Methodist Church has been working to help all those who have preconceived notions about church. They've been working to help them look again at what church can be. This is a project we've been working on for, 15-some years now. That effort is the same effort that placed an ad in today's paper here in Denver and all along the Front Range. Perhaps you saw it. The hands folded in prayer that says, "Our hearts, our neighbors, our prayers." And invites folks to continue to support those in need and to make donations. This is part of our outreach. Why just tell people you should come to church when we can tell them who we are and what we do and why we do it? That same effort over the last few years put together an amazing piece of reflection that goes something like this. What if we rethink church? What if church was less about Sunday and more about the other days of the week? What if church wasn't just a place we go, but something we do? A milieu of adventure, an active verb instead of a noun. What if church was thousands of doors, each of them opening up to a different concept or experience of church, so that whoever knocks might find a journey to call their own? What if the church was the way the church was at the beginning, outbound, unbound, active? Human beings from completely different worlds, united by common purpose, experience, and belief, creating real solutions for real daily lives. What if church looked at itself with seeker's eyes? Recognizing that even the smallest step through one of our doors is an act of courage, a moment of vulnerability. That solving a secular need can lead to spiritual interaction. That social relationships can offer opportunities for discussions of faith and provide inspiration for discovery. And that for a skeptical world, actions often do speak louder than words. What if church was more of an out-of-church experience, an opportunity to prove what we say we believe with our lives? Then perhaps Sunday could be a day of rest and reflection on all that had been accomplished Monday through Saturday. What if we rethink church, not in terms of what it is, but what it could be? And what if we could convince the world to do the same? We convinced the world to do the same this week. Hundreds of people, seriously, hundreds of people we don't know offered their time and money to stock us with supplies to help other people. They took a step through our doors in an act of courage and a moment of vulnerability. And with faith and trust, they believed that we would do what was needed with their generosity. Because we can't wait that long. The friends of friends, the business owners and their patrons, the Highland mommies, the neighbors, the strangers walking by, all of these people joined us in responding. Responding not only to a great need, but responding to a great calling within our hearts, united by a common purpose, because we can't wait that long. And then there were dozens of people we do know who offered hours and hours of hands-on work to inventory and sort and prepare the donations on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Saturday, responding not only to the words of an email, but to the idea that actions speak louder than words. Because we can't wait that long. Thousands upon thousands of individual items of buckets and personal hygiene kits and monetary donations and outreach and staff being poured into this community because we're in need. Our neighbors are in need. This is the church at its best. But this isn't just the way we respond to natural disasters. This is how the church responds to life, the honest, real, imperfect lives that we all live. This isn't just the way we respond with scrub brushes and household cleaners. This is how the church responds with prayer, support, listening ears, visits and meals and understanding when life takes its toll every day in all sorts of ways to every one of us. This isn't just the way we rely on community to provide us with supplies. This is about how the church relies on community to help us grow, to accept us as we are, to help us be a part of something bigger than ourselves. This isn't just the way we respond to floodwaters. This is how the church responds to baptismal waters as we hear the call to live God's love, as we are blessed to do so and connected as God's people. This is how we respond by caring, supporting, and journeying each and every day with each and every person we meet, living into the promise of God's love shown in Jesus. What if we rethink church? What if church was a verb? Because we can't wait that long. Amen.